Moving to the diplomatic front, we're seeing significant tension within the European alliance as E3 leaders, that's Britain, France, and Germany, prepare to press Trump on his Ukraine peace plan at the G7 summit. This represents a fascinating test of how Trump's transactional foreign policy approach will work with traditional allies who have different strategic calculations.
What makes this particularly complex is Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni's sharp criticism of the E3 format itself. She told Parliament that the Franco-German axis lacks legitimacy to negotiate on behalf of all of Europe and is calling for a dedicated EU envoy on Ukraine. This isn't just procedural disagreement. It's a fundamental challenge to how European foreign policy gets made.
Meloni's position reflects a broader tension in European politics between the traditional Franco-German leadership model and emerging power centers. Italy, as the Eurozone's third largest economy, has legitimate claims to major foreign policy influence, especially on issues affecting Southern Europe and the Mediterranean. When she questions the E3's legitimacy, she's essentially arguing for a more inclusive European decision-making structure.
The timing is crucial because Trump's approach to Ukraine likely differs significantly from the European consensus. While the E3 wants to maintain robust support for Ukrainian resistance, Trump has consistently signaled interest in negotiated settlements that might involve territorial concessions. If Meloni succeeds in fragmenting the European position before the G7, it gives Trump more leverage to pursue his preferred approach.
This connects to a broader pattern we're seeing where Trump's foreign policy is simultaneously more assertive militarily, as with Iran, but more accommodating diplomatically with traditional adversaries. The Ukraine situation exemplifies this tension because it requires balancing alliance management with Trump's stated goal of reducing American overseas commitments.
Meanwhile, Russia is applying its own pressure on regional allies. Moscow warned Armenia over its post-Soviet alliance membership, which reflects broader concerns about countries moving away from Russian influence. Armenia has been gradually shifting toward the West since the 2020 Nagorno-Karabakh conflict, and Russia's warning suggests they view this as part of a broader pattern of losing influence in their traditional sphere.
The Armenia situation is particularly interesting because it shows how smaller countries are navigating between great powers in this new multipolar environment. Armenia depends on Russia for security guarantees, but they've been disappointed by Russian support during their conflicts with Azerbaijan. This creates opportunities for Western engagement, but also makes Armenia vulnerable to Russian pressure.
We're also seeing continued attention to Sudan, where a bipartisan Senate bill is targeting the ongoing civil war with new sanctions. This reflects growing recognition that the Sudan conflict, while receiving less media attention than Ukraine or the Middle East, has created one of the world's worst humanitarian crises. The bipartisan nature of the Senate response suggests this is one area where American foreign policy consensus still exists.
The Sudan legislation is important because it demonstrates that Congress can still coordinate on humanitarian issues even amid broader foreign policy disagreements. With an estimated 25 million people needing humanitarian assistance in Sudan, the scale of the crisis demands international attention regardless of other geopolitical priorities.